If you don't have a Bible, there's a stack of them in the back. Please don't hesitate to hop up and grab one. We're continuing a brief four-week series here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and chapter 5. And today we're looking at verses 13 to 18 of chapter 4. Before we dive in, let's pray. Gracious God, thank you. Thank you for this morning, for the chance to be here together. And pray that as my words line up with your words, that they would fall on ears and hearts ready to receive them and respond. And God, I pray that if anything I say isn't from you, that those words would quickly be forgotten. And I pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was standing in front of about 70 college students, most of whom were complete strangers to me. And I knew that within the next 30 minutes or so, I was going to ask them to consider trusting Jesus for the first time or the first time in a long time. I was 2 weeks into a new job at the University of San Diego, serving a campus ministry called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and this was the first large group gathering of the school year. My new supervisor had asked me to give a call to faith for that very first gathering 2 weeks into a job in a place I was unfamiliar with in front of students I had never met. In some Christian traditions, one might call this an altar call. To say the least, I was nervous. It was a new context for me, new students. And I knew that how it went would impact what the whole school year looked like for me. And so there I stood in front of strangers like this, fluorescent lights blazing overhead. This was not a gentle room like this room. This was like, imagine college lecture hall, fluorescent lights. I'd shared the good news of Jesus as faithfully as I knew how. And it was time to invite students to respond. And so I asked them, maybe you're here tonight and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, or maybe you haven't really followed him in quite some time. Maybe you've attended church before, but your faith was never really yours. You just went because your parents went, or whatever. If that's you, I want to invite you to say yes to Jesus tonight. For yourself, whether for the first time or the first time in a long time. And if that's you, I'd like to invite you to take a step of faith tonight and to stand up right now. And then I stood there like this and I waited. I'd been clear. I had been gentle. There was no bait and switch, no emotional manipulation, just a clear and I hope kind invitation. And I was scared out of my mind. I was scared nobody would respond and I'd look like an idiot. I was scared people would think that I was weird or pushy or too religious. I was scared of the awkward silence. And I so desperately wanted these students to like me and for the ministry to grow and to not come off as a weird Jesus guy around all these new students and a million other things. If I'm completely honest, I'm not sure I would have done it if my new boss hadn't told me. I probably would have gotten to that moment and just chickened out entirely. I mean, some of you have heard me tell stories before. I've chickened out in that moment. In front of groups, in one-on-one conversations, I've chickened out plenty of times. And oh, I was so tempted that night to give in to my fears and my insecurities. And oh boy, would I have missed out. Last week, we talked about how Paul's life got harder, more complicated, certainly more full of suffering. after committing his life to Jesus. I said that what's promised to those who walk in the way of Jesus is a life of hardship and suffering. That when we commit to following Jesus, we carry with us in our bodies the very death of Jesus. But we also noted that walking in the way of Jesus is worth it. It's worth the challenge. It's worth the hardship. It's worth the suffering because Jesus is worth it. And because the way of Jesus is the way of life. And so I stood there, uncertain and afraid in a room full of strangers. And I told them about the love of Jesus. And then I invited them to follow him. Paul writes in our text this morning, starting at verse 13, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. Paul writes, we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised Jesus from the dead will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it's all for your sake that grace might extend to more and more people. It may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Look, if Jesus is who he says he is, if he really is the Son of God, the Messiah, if he really is the only one who can save us from our sins, who can save us from death, if he really did live and die and rise again from the dead so that we might know God and have eternal life, if that's true, then it changes everything. It changes everything. C.S. Lewis makes this point in a famous sermon he delivered titled The Weight of Glory. C.S. Lewis, he took this sermon title right from our text this morning. And he writes this, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. He writes, we're half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what it meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased. Or to put it another way, we worry about what a room full of college students might think of us when we have before us the joy, the delight of partnering in the work of the God of the universe, the very one who gave his one and only son that we might have eternal life. I worried about what 18-year-olds might think of me when I have the promise of eternal life and the joy of partnering with God right there. If the good news of Jesus is true, then it changes everything. As we noted last week, it puts our suffering and the challenges of this life into perspective, doesn't it? Of course life will be hard. But we're doing it with Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Of course, there will be suffering. But Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians that his suffering draws us deeper into relationship with Jesus who suffered for us. Of course, we'll be afraid and insecure. But we're given the opportunity in those moments to trust him, to step out in faith beyond ourselves. Of course, we won't always be able to see clearly what's ahead of us. But if we don't get walking, then we might never see where he wants to take us. If the good news of Jesus is true, then it changes everything. I believed that with my head 10 years ago. But as I stood in that room, the University of San Diego, I had to decide if I believed it enough to speak. Look at verse 13. Since we have the same spirit, Paul writes, of faith, according to what is written, I believed and so I spoke, so also we believe. And so we also speak. And so I gripped that podium and I asked myself the question in my head, do I believe this enough to speak? Paul did. Jesus had changed his life, totally transformed it. And so Paul spoke because he believed. There's a moment in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. I love this story. When a man brings his son to Jesus. The boy was afflicted with some sort of evil spirit. He was deeply sick. And the dad is at his wit's end. He doesn't know what to do anymore. Maybe you felt like that before. You're at your wit's end. You just don't know what to do. And so he brings his son to Jesus, his final hope. And he asks Jesus to heal his son. Mark tells us that Jesus looked at the dad and he said, anything is possible if you just believe. And I love the dad's response. He said, Lord, I believe. You know the second part? Help my unbelief. It's Mark 9:24. And Jesus heals the son. I gripped the podium and I asked myself if I believed enough to speak, to risk rejection or looking like an idiot. I believe, God, please, will you help my unbelief? And then I did it. I did it. And y'all, it was so awkward. It was so, so awkward. At least for me. I was so deeply uncomfortable, so uncertain. But God is so gracious and he's so good. And he so deeply cares for those who don't yet know him. Look again at verse 14. The Lord Jesus Christ will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake. So that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Y'all, Jesus is in the business of drawing people to himself. He loves to bring the lost into his presence. That grace might extend to more and more people, to the glory of God. And oh, praise the Lord, that despite my doubts and my insecurities, my fears and my uncertainties, a handful of students responded to Jesus that night at USD. I don't know what I would have done if nobody had stood up. There was a moment I was like, oh, if nobody responds, what's gonna sell? Lord, please. I'm waiting and Lord, please, just one student. And thank God, then one stood up, and a second, and a third. Three. And I got a taste that night of what it's like to be obedient. To speak about Jesus because I believe. And even more than that, I got a taste of what it's like to be a part of someone's journey home to God. Taste of what it's like when somebody enters eternal life. There's so much in this world that might leave us discouraged, afraid, uncertain. And that night, as a handful of students committed their lives to Jesus, I got a taste of eternity. This is why, even in the face of immense trial, Paul can write, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self, our body, Paul writes, is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary suffering, affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory. That's that line that C.S. Lewis used as the title of his sermon. Beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. The things that are unseen are eternal. Friends, when we're dealing with Jesus, and when we're dealing with people, we're dealing with eternity. C.S. Lewis, in that same sermon, Weight of Glory, would go on to say that there are no ordinary people. You've never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mere mortal. and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. Nations come and go. Nations come and go. Roman Empire was the most powerful empire the world had ever seen. Gone. Mongol Empire, the most powerful empire the world had ever seen. Gone. The United States of America is not eternal. There will come a day when the USA will cease to be no more. Cultures come and go. Art, civilizations, they come and go. Ah, but eternity, everlasting life, is waiting for those who belong to Jesus. This is the promise for us. We will outlast the US of A. It is so easy. It's so tempting to believe our fears, to be ruled by our insecurities, to worry more about what others might think than about what Jesus thinks. Pastors certainly aren't immune to those fears. Earlier this week, I had a call with my church planting coach. Yes, they give us coaches when we start new churches. He's 10 or 15 years older than me, and he's currently planting his third church. So he's done this a few times before. And as I was sharing about the things that I'm still worried about, my insecurities and my fears, because they don't go away, do they? Grown-ups, you look at the kids. Our fears and insecurities don't go away. And so as I'm sharing with John my fears and my insecurities, my fear of being seen as incompetent, my fear of failure, my fear of rejection, he said, oh yeah, me too. Me too. We're all still in some ways little boys, aren't we? But as we kept talking, I was reminded over and over again of God's faithfulness, of God's goodness, of all the ways he's come through for me and for us, and for this new baby church. I was reminded of his provision, his care. I was reminded of the ways he's changed me and is changing me and is changing us as we learn to walk in the way of Jesus together. And yeah, there's plenty that out there that we could fear. There's plenty out there to fear. But there's also Jesus. And the promise of eternity puts most all of those things into perspective. I was remembering what that first call to faith was like, fresh out of seminary, and how scared I was. But also how Jesus met me in that moment, and how a handful of students' lives were reshaped by Jesus for eternity. And how, for a brief moment at least, I got to be a part of that. Look, we miss out when our lives are driven by our fears. God always gets his man. But I would have missed out. I would have missed out. And instead, I got to be a part of it. To quote verse 15 again, grace extending to more and more people to the glory of God. And speaking up about Jesus, even perhaps especially when I was afraid, it changed me. It did. And you know what? That next week, more students came. Those students I was so worried about thinking that I was weird, or that this community was weird. I was so worried about the awkwardness. They came back. Some of them even brought friends. So I got to the end of my talk and I said, shoot, I might as well go for it again. And I went for it again. And what do you know? More students responded. So the next week they came back and they brought their friends. And I thought, well, might as well. What have I got to lose? And I invited them again to trust Jesus for the first time or the first time in a long time. And more students responded. We did every week for 8 weeks. And then I was like, maybe we should take a break. Take a week off. Inviting people to follow Jesus. And those same students I was so worried would think that I was weird. Those same students I was so worried would reject me. We got to the end of that night and they said, Mike, how come you didn't ask anybody if they want to follow Jesus? I said, you're right. Why don't you go do it? The 19-year-old went up and said, hey, is there anybody here tonight that wants to follow Jesus? If not, that's okay. We want to give you the opportunity to say yes or no or not yet. What do you know? Somebody else said, I think that's me. By the end of the school year, dozens upon dozens of college students had decided to follow Jesus, 53 of them to be exact. And oh, what a joy it was to play a small part in that. It messed me up for life in the best sorts of ways, if you know what I mean. Now, I don't tell you that story to make you think good of me. Because each and every week, I got this close to chickening out again. I tell you that story because of the faith it still fills me with today. Because it's a story of how God met me in my fears and insecurities, and how he transformed them for the sake of others. He met me in my fear of rejection, right? My fear of awkwardness. My fear of saying the wrong thing. And in that moment, he gave me faith and courage to speak about him. And he used it, all of my awkwardness, my insecurities, to draw people to himself in spite of me. Look, here's what I'm trying to say. Each and every one of us in this room, we have our own fears and insecurities that drive us. We do. Perhaps it's a desperate need to be liked or to fit in. Perhaps it's a fear of disappointing people, not being liked, a fear of not living up to someone else's expectations or your own, or some sort of nebulous expectations about what it means to be a supervisor or a leader or a mom or a student. Pick your thing. If I'm honest, for me, it's been all of those things. And these fears, they can motivate us. They can drive us. And we can begin to orient our lives around our fears instead of around eternity. We can begin to orient our lives around our fears of not getting an A, disappointing our parents, not living up to someone's expectation about what it means to be a good parent, or whatever else. When we believe our fears instead of Jesus, when we hesitate to speak about him, we miss out on being a part of God's grace extending to more and more people. We miss the chance to participate in someone else's journey to eternal life. So, if you believe, don't be afraid to speak. Because the same God who rose from the dead is working in you. Right now, I'm preaching to myself on that one, okay? Because probably I'm going to go away, like end up at the pool today or tomorrow. And I'm getting a conversation with another parent. And they're going to say, so what do you do for work? And I'm going to say, I'm a pastor. And in that moment, I'm going to have a choice to make, right? Am I going to like, what do you do? Tell me about your job. Change the subject as quick as possible. Or, Lord, will you give me an opportunity here? Maybe have a conversation about something spirit, something that's eternal. For me, my line of work, those conversations, those opportunities come every week. Every week, I have a choice to chicken out or not. And so I'm going to preach to myself and say, see right? Don't believe your fears. Don't believe your fears. Instead, speak up about Jesus, that grace might extend to more and more people. I must say to myself and to us, don't be discouraged or give up, even when you miss the mark, which we will. But turn to Jesus. Keep your eyes on him, because it's in him and through him that we participate in eternity. It's not up to us. It's not up to us. So take a deep breath. You don't save anybody. That night 10 years ago, I didn't save anybody. It's not up to you. Jesus is the one who saves people. Right?
Oh. So you're going
to
give us a chance to stand up and receive the grace of God and
reach again? Yes, sure. Here's the thing that I'll say, though, friends. It is such a joy and such an opportunity. It is so good when we participate in those moments. Even when it doesn't go as planned. It's so good. It's so good. Gives us a chance to play a small role, perhaps, in somebody else's journey home to Jesus. Oh, but we need help to do that, don't we?
Yes, we do.
So let's stand and let's pray. Oh, gracious God, I pray that you would make us to be the sort of people who, filled, empowered by the Holy Spirit, walk with courage. Oh, and God, I pray that you would encourage us, even when we miss it, which, if I'm honest, even for me, happens more often than not. But God, would you give us opportunities this week, I pray, to participate, even in perhaps a small way, in eternity. And would you remind us over and over and over again that the same God who raised Jesus from the dead is alive and at work in us. We need your help. We need your help. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, would you fill us with faith that we might believe you instead of our fears, to the glory of God. And it's through Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.